Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
Such of Scripture, John 20, 30, and 31. And in that text, we learn that Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, as John writes, which are not written in this book. But these are written, he tells us, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That belief, as we noted last time, must be an obedient belief, an obedient faith. And the concept of life in his name is the concept of life by his authority. We said that when it is the Lord who authorizes, we must submit. And we looked at an excellent example of such submissiveness in John 21, 1 through 8. When Jesus appeared to certain of the disciples, asked them if they had caught any fish, and they said no. And he instructed them to cast the net on the right side of the boat. He told them they'll find some, and they did. It was that miracle that prompted the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, to say to Peter, "It is the Lord." It is the Lord. What an important statement. It is the Lord. When it is the Lord who has authorized, then we must submit. We noted last time that that was true in the Old Testament with men like Noah and Abraham and Moses, all of whom demonstrated an obedient, submissive faith, and that it was true in the New Testament. We looked at a similar incident to that of John 21 in Luke 5, where Peter, after a fruitless and fatiguing night of fishing, catching nothing, was told by the Lord to cast and to catch fish, as he told him to do, to cast down his nets once again. And even though Peter had caught nothing, he was willing to do that. Listen to those words in that fifth chapter of Luke. They had caught nothing, and yet the Lord said to Simon, verse 4 of Luke 5, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." "Caught nothing," he said, but listen to these words. "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." What an important statement. The lesson is clear, isn't it? When we know it is the Lord who has authorized or failed to authorize, we must respond accordingly. Jesus said his words, John 12:48, would judge us in the last day. We can know what the Lord has authorized. We can know that we know. How? By keeping his commandments. That's what John tells us in 1 John 2 and verse 3. We know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And John elsewhere tells us that his commandments are not grievous. There are many today who try to tell us that we cannot know what the Lord has said, but we can. It's deposited for us on the pages of the New Testament. Last time we introduced three things that we want to discuss more fully today. It is the Lord who said, "Love as I have loved." It is the Lord who said, "Live as I lived," as he was upon the earth. And it is the Lord who said, "Leave this world as I left it." Those are three very important admonitions. "Love as I have loved," Jesus tells us. That's what we find in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Listen to what Jesus said there to his disciples. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Remember that exchange we alluded to last time between Peter and the Lord in John 21, 14 through 19, where the Lord asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" That exchange culminated in the admonition of Jesus, "Follow me." But it began with, "Do you love me?" What does this tell us? God has done everything possible to produce love. From Genesis to Revelation, we learn of the love of God that culminates in the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary. The supreme sacrificial love is demonstrated there. And so we are to love as we have been loved. We're to love God, Matthew 22:37, with all of our hearts. We're to love Christ. We're to love our brethren if we are Christians. We're to love those who are our fellow Christians. and we're to grow in that love. And yes, we're even admonished to love our enemies. Oh no, not to have a warm, affectionate feeling for those who would seek to do us harm, but to have the highest form of love for them, the agape love. That is the love that does that which is best for the object of the love. And yes, we should desire and want, even for our enemies, that which is truly best for them. And so we love them in that sense. And if we are to submit to the authority of the Lord, we must recognize that it is the Lord who said, "Love as I have loved." But it is also the Lord who said, "Live as I lived." What an example He left us as He lived among men. The absolute perfect example. And living as He lived follows logically from loving as He loved, doesn't it? In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, the writer says, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." Listen, then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second, speaking of the covenants. "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." The example of Jesus is an example of supreme sacrifice. "If you love me," Jesus said, "you will keep my commandments." We will indeed live as he lived, following his example of sacrifice. We will labor as he labored. Jesus said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." In John 9, verse 4, he said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work." And so we too must labor, as the Hebrews writer admonishes, to enter into the rest. "Let us therefore be diligent," or labor, as the King James says. The New King James says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience, the disobedience of those who fell in the wilderness long ago under that old covenant or during that period of time." Yes, we're to labor as he labored. That involves living as he lived. But it's to be a labor of love. And the supreme motivation for that love is summarized for us so beautifully by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. "For the love of Christ constrains us," he says, "because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves." Should live no longer for themselves, he says, "but for him who died for them and rose again." There's the supreme overwhelming motivation for loving and living. It is the recognition of the love of God through Christ for us. But finally, the Lord says to us, "Leave as I left." It is the Lord who has said, "Leave as I have left." What do we mean by that? We mean leave this world as he left this world. In John 16, verse 28, Jesus said, "I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." In verse 33 of that same chapter, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's the way we're to leave as he left. He left having overcome the world through his perfect work of redemption. Let's read a passage together along this line from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, concerning the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and what it accomplished. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." There is a description by inspiration of the perfect redemptive work of Jesus Christ. He became a partaker of flesh and blood that through his death for us, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and give to us the opportunity for eternal life. Listen to the words of Jesus in the poignant prayer to the Father just before his terrible crucifixion. In John 17 and verse 4, he said, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." How is it that we overcome the world? John tells us how in 1 John chapter 5, where in verse 4 he says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." You see, there are only two ways for us to leave this world. We will either leave this world having overcome it, or we will leave this world having been overcome by it, by worldliness. John said, "Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world." You can't do that and have the love of the Father in you. And so to abide forever with God and Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the faithful of all the ages, we must leave as Christ left, overcoming the world through our obedient faith. We must love as he loved, live as he lived, and leave as he left, glorifying God by a life of faithful obedience.